Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Mr. Chairman, speaking for myself and myself only, it is my personal belief that allowing gays and lesbians to serve openly would be the right thing to do. No matter how I look at this issue, I cannot escape being troubled by the fact that we have in place a policy which forces young men and women to lie about who they are in order to defend their fellow citizens. For me, personally, it comes down to integrity. Theirs as individuals and ours as an institution.
That's Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, testifying today before the Senate Armed Services Committee. He thinks personally that Don't Ask, Don't Tell requires our servicemen and women to lie in order to serve. He was willing to acknowledge that this would be a difficult law to change, that it would mean some big changes, and it would have far-reaching effects. But he and the other Joint Chiefs agreed that the president's policy to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be implemented, albeit quite carefully. We're going to talk about gays in the military for the next 10 minutes of the program. Tommy Sears joins us. He's executive director of the Center for Military Readiness based in Washington, D.C. Tommy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
You were there in the committee room hearing the testimony. What did you make of it?
I was there, and frankly, from the standpoint of Secretary Gates and Chairman Mullen, it was disappointing. The president, they stated in each of their remarks that they were moving out, so to speak, on the order from the president to repeal the law, but it's neither the president's nor the Secretary of Defense's law to repeal. We make laws by Congress in this country, and there is a statute that says homosexuals are ineligible for military service, period, end of sentence. Now, there is the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which is the regulations in place at the Pentagon to that Bill Clinton put in place to enforce that policy. In that law, I would argue pretty contradictory to the law, but that's another subject for right now. Essentially, I was listening to Admiral Mullen's comments as you were bringing me on here, and this is not an issue of personal bias or preference. It is an issue of unit cohesion, discipline, good order, and readiness.
Okay, explain the logic of the law as it has existed, that is, barring homosexuals from service in the U.S. Armed Forces. What is the logic of that prohibition?
The logic behind it, again, to refer back to those last four points I made, readiness, unit cohesion, morale, and good order and discipline, is that the conditions of military life are unique and obviously quite different from that of civilian life. You and I encounter conditions that we don't particularly like at work. Yes, it may hurt us temporarily financially, but we have the freedom to walk out the door. Our men and women serving in the military do not have that freedom. It is the basis upon you can't have a military if you can't have discipline, which at basis starts at, you know, you don't like something, you get to go home. You cannot have an effective fighting force if, you know, that option's available to people. So they have to serve under conditions of what the law describes as forced intimacy, and that means common showers, all the stuff the liberal left and the gay activists don't like for us to talk about. That means common showers in some circumstances. It means sleeping in common barracks. It means often common hygiene facilities and so forth. What the Secretary of Defense and Admiral Mullen proposed today, and the Democrats on the committee along with them, proposed today would be tantamount to asking men and women to live together in a in a cohabiting state 24/7, and that would be in all communities across all services.
Okay, what's going on with the, like you said, we could talk at length about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but what's going on with the president's impulse to overturn the law such as it is? What is behind the move to lift the ban on homosexual service in the U.S. Armed Forces?
Well, it is a part of the motivation by him and his gay activist supporters to try to couch this issue as a civil rights issue. This is not a civil rights issue, and again, go back to basics. Let's start with what the law says and what, in essence, the Constitution provides for. There is no constitutional right to serve in the United States military. The military gets to make its own rules and set its own standards. And one of those rules is if you're homosexual, you're ineligible. There are other rules, like being overweight, in circumstances being too tall or even too short, having pre-existing medical conditions that prevent you from being in the military, any variety of individual characteristics that in and of themselves are benign, nonetheless are for the unique conditions of service in the military, disqualifying.
And homosexuality has been traditionally considered one of those.
Right. A disqualifying characteristic, that's correct.
It really sounds as though the law itself is not so much about homosexuality, but the principle at work here is whether or not the military can set its own standards for service. What if those standards are, if the military isn't permitted, in this case or in other cases, to set those standards?
Well, and I think we've even, without getting too far afield here, seen some of the bad consequences, even in this past year, of allowing standards to slip or not allowing the military to set the highest available standards. We've seen what happened at Fort Hood when the motivation was to promote someone, even though it might have been inconvenient to point out his inclinations despite... his inclinations as a result of his religious persuasion. The Navy SEALs case where political correctness seemed to dictate the prosecuting individuals who were trying to keep the country safe in terms of apprehending a terrorist. I think that if we go down this road, and I think that Senator Saxby Chambliss on the committee did a terrific job of pointing out the slippery slope argument if people are able to go back and look at the video or the transcript, which I would think would be available on the Armed Services Committee website today, and they can get that at www.senate.gov and then look for the committee's link and then the Armed Services link, they'd be able to see where Senator Chambliss made the very plain argument that, you know, if you get to let one group set the conditions under which they serve, then how are you going to prevent the next group who says, well, you know, I happen to believe in living with my dog all 24/7, you know, and I mean, I don't mean to make the argument ridiculous, but pick any set of circumstances you like. And once you've compromised in one area, how are you going to prevent compromise in the others?
I wonder, given the fact that gay marriage is a legal entity in some states mm-hmm. of the United States, the military can hardly avoid dealing with that issue if it lifts the ban on gays in the military. It will deal with servicemen and women who want to seek out that legal entity if it's unique to their state. Do you think they're anticipating what might happen next?
Well, I think they're certainly going to have to answer that question. I think that hoping we'll be able to get that to that point in a few months, but Ranking Member Buck McKeon from California on the House Armed Services Committee, not the body that met today, but the House Armed Services Committee, has already asked some very penetrating questions, one of which deals with that issue. Are we going to be looking at the potential of the country having not only to consider this controversial issue, but the controversial matter of legalizing gay marriage nationwide, particularly in jurisdictions such as states, which I think 30, 31 of which have already rejected. I believe that that is something that is unavoidable and will get asked and explored pretty thoroughly.
Finally, then, make the case, if you would. What is essentially wrong and dangerous, ultimately, with allowing homosexuals to serve in the U.S. military?
Again, as I summarized or tried to in describing the law, as you pointed out, is not about homosexuality per se. The law is about standards that maintain the highest order, good discipline, unit cohesion, and readiness. As again was pointed out in the hearing today, the military is not a social laboratory or place for conducting different experimentations in human behavior. It is principally and solely an instrument for protecting the national security interests of the country and defending its people. And when you start compromising the standards that make it the most effective in doing that thing, you are eroding its effectiveness and putting all of us at risk.
Tommy Sears is executive director of the Center for Military Readiness based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to the website for the Center for Military Readiness at our website, issuesetc.org. Tommy, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, it's hard to believe that this is true, but it actually is true. It's an online game show of sorts, kind of a pseudo-reality show featuring actors and actresses. The question that basically forms the premise of this pseudo-reality show online is whether or not the young woman should have an abortion. And like so many reality shows, they're letting the audience decide. The show is called Bump. Catherine Jean Lopez of National Review Online will join us to talk about it on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 2nd, for the last few minutes of this hour. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Arthur Just will join us. We'll remember the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus along with the church on this day. And then Greg Kokel will answer the question, does Exodus 21:22 permit or at least give us a door slightly ajar for abortion in the Bible? Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues, Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues, Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues, Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues, Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues, Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.